What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 250 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecca Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
We got some more Stardew news.
And we got the most degenerate squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
Zero. Just because Astinian is shirtless and sweaty does not mean you need to start taking your clothes off.
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to be talking about tutorialization in video games. We're going to talk about world leaders. And we're going to talk about Final Fantasy because it's Cheesy Controller Podcast.
Yeah.
So, what was your problem with the champion?
It was just easy. There was nothing hard. It was like god-awful easy.
Pokemon games aren't hard. You literally have to ROM hack it to make it a challenge.
That's not necessarily true. Like, this game wasn't like a cakewalk all the way through. I mean, our understanding of Pokemon since we've been playing since kids helps us beat these games easier, but...
No, you just pick type advantage. That's it.
Right. No, but...
Step.
Lance. Step. No, but like, other champions had a well-rounded team to where they were more of a challenge.
The only champion I think I've ever even pretended was even slightly challenging was Cynthia's gambling powers on that fucking Garchomp. That Garchomp be rolling crits like a motherfucker.
So
Lance is a challenge in both Red and Gold.
The professor in Scarlet and Violet, I feel like that was a cool battle. And it wasn't so easy that...
That felt more like not a final fight, like up to compared to the older generations, but... It felt like a fight that was like, okay, this is good. It makes up for Jetta.
It might have been Greta, but yeah.
They regretted making her the champion.
I mean, she had to try. That is one thing I'll say about Scarlet and Violet. Because, like, I feel like they did more with their character designs. I feel like the characters are more memorable than anything out of Sword and Shield or anything.
Well, the storylines of this game were good.
The only people really I remember out of Sword and Shield were Hop, one kid that became a gym leader later on. Don't know his name. And, I guess... Hop's brother. What's his name? The champion.
With the champion. Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. He had a cool Charizard.
Yeah. Gigantamax, you know.
Gigantamax was a cool...
I still think that's dumb as shit that his ace was a fucking Charizard. Like...
Yeah.
Honestly, that was stupid. But I will say...
Charmander, though.
I haven't even played Scarlet and Violet, but those are some pretty good character designs.
Yeah.
Like, those are some memorable designs.
I think overall, like...
I think it's also, like, the character designs are really good, but the story around them is...
The way they translated Pokemon into a world game, and, like, the way... The game's structured better than I feel like it's been structured in a few generations. Mm-hmm. I feel like... I don't know, the new Pokemon aren't the best, but, you know, they aren't terrible at the same time. We're not having, like, a Gen 6 of, like, what the hell's going on here. Like, I feel... And they didn't rely on, like, evolving old Pokemon as much, because we got a lot of that stuff in Legends Arceus. Like, getting Hisui forms. The fact that they have the Divergent Pokemon, which are like Wigglet and Wooper, where it's like, it's not the same Pokemon. It just looks like that other Pokemon.
Oh, wait, what, Tentacool?
Yeah, whatever. The fucking rock type. There's only, I think, one new non-legendary Pokemon that I haven't caught. And I fought it once, and I've been using the Pokedex to try and find it again, but I just can't.
You don't know where it is?
I mean, according to the Pokedex, I am in the area where it should show up, but I'm just seeing everything but that. It's Squawkabilly, The one that the new flying taxi Pokemon.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris, I think so you beat the game. Did you get any of the other legendaries yet?
No, the only one I've got is Muraidon.
So did you walk up to any of those like glowing stakes in the ground and like make them disappear throughout the game? You would know if you did it. It's like just a
big... Oh, yes. I think I did one and then...
And you're, it always says like, it seems like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Well, turns out something happens. You gotta do, like, five of them of each color to unlock the gate that lets you like go into those Pokemon's dens and catch them. That's and cool. It's kind of cool that they're based off Chinese mythology this time around. So, yeah, like, it's, I think it might be five of them, which I feel like is a lot, considering there's not, like, a third legendary to Koridon and Maridon.
Yeah.
But.
So it's just breaking from the regular mold?
Yeah, that's not necessarily true. Like, with Sun and Moon, there isn't a third one. They just got, you know, armor or possessed or whatever the fuck happened.
Well, Necrozma was a legendary on its own. So there was a third one. It just wasn't a box legendary. Like, Necrozma was, like, the third of that trio. And that's how in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, Necrozma, like, fuses with them.
Okay, so then... Because would it be Black and White then? Or did they just fuse together, fusion dance?
Kyurem. So, like, technically it was Reshiram, Zekrom, and then Kyurem. So in Black and White 2 was when Zekrom or Reshiram fused with Kyurem.
Alright.
Sword, and then Sword and Shield Eternatus was basically, like, there's not, like, a Rayquaza, a Giratina. There's nothing like an equivalent to that where there was in pretty much every generation up until now.
That's true. Well.
Because there's not even like...
Was Gen 1 or Gen 3 the first one that started it? Because, I mean, technically Celebi?
Well, no.
That's a mystical.
Yeah.
No, that Gen 3 was the first one with the start of the three legendaries.
Well,
because there's like the three legendaries, and then there's the legendary like the beast or legendaries. Yeah.
So it was like in Gen 1 we had Zapdos, Articuno, and Moltres.
Mm-hmm. And then the
Mewtwo. I guess Mewtwo was really like it.
Yeah.
And then Mew was the mythical. And then we got Antirico, Suicune. Then you go up to Ho-Oh and Lugia. And there wasn't really a third one.
Are the Regis not legendaries?
Those are Gen 3. But those...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Regis. And then you get to Groudon, Kyogre, and Rayquaza. Mm-hmm. And then you get your mythical of Jirachi and Dialga.
Yeah, but there's always a... Yeah, there's usually like... a regular legendary trio in a game, and then you got, like, the box legendary.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, there's the one that the story is going to give you. The story gives you the legendary, and then there's one you search the world and you find the three trios.
Right.
Because aren't there, like, genies at some point? I didn't play that one.
Gen 4 had Uxie, Azelf, and Meowspirit, but I would not call those genies. But this one, so it's Wo Chen, Chen Pao, Ting Lu, and Chi Yu. So it's four this time around. And they're not roaming. They just, like, you have to unlock their dens and then go in there.
Yeah. Okay. This game has a lot of discovery to offer.
Right. That is one thing. It doesn't, like, it holds your hands in, like, the starting off the game, of course, they tutorialize it like you've never played any video game before, but I mean,
that's also the thing about it is you need to, because players will, like, not understand the most basic things. Like, that's how we keep having the yellow paint on a ladder discourse every, like, couple of years, where it's like, you know, somebody who's played that game is going to completely miss that, you know, you can climb that ladder unless you make it visually distinct. Heck, that's why Mirror's Edge had the red, used red that way. If it was red, you can interact with it.
Yep.
Even The Last of Us, in the beginning, like, after you get out the car, there are, like, yellow caution tape in the directions you're supposed to be going. Because in playtesting, they saw people would get out of the car and just not know what to do. So, like, it's a super minor detail that, like, nobody ever notices. Because, like, it works well as far as to... It's like the Mario thing of, like... The original Mario didn't have a tutorial. The tutorialization came from, alright, so... You walk into a Goomba, you die. You then jump on the Goomba, find out that that kills the Goomba. And then you jump, you break the first block, nothing happens. But then you hit a question block and you get a power up. And then for the first time, like, the next screen is teaching you to jump over the chasm. And then there's like three breakable blocks, but on top of those is an invisible block. So... It really teaches you a lot of those fundamentals of a 2D platformer like that intuitively, like, of just trial and error. But, of course, games are way more complex now, and it's not just D-pad A, B.
Yeah.
Like, there's four face buttons now. You're getting... You got your D-pad and two analog stick shoulder buttons. Like, it's a lot more complicated now. And I mean, Pokemon, at the end of the day, is still a kid's game. I just feel like this is the first time they've acknowledged, really, like, hey, we can... Because even in Sword and Shield, where they started having the open environments, and then the DLC were just open environments, it felt like they were going in this direction. But this is the first time that I feel like they trusted us enough to, like... not give you a roadmap in any way. Like,
yeah,
there was a, like, ascending level order you could have done the gyms in, but you could also just grind and
dump out what you need.
Yeah,
that's true.
And, like, I went a little bit off the level progression path at first, because of course I didn't know it, and then I was like, alright, well, the bug gym's right here. I have a fire starter, I'm gonna go murder that, and the grass gym was also right there. I think the first gym that I got to and realized, like, I was just too low level to be facing it was it the psychic gym up in the mountains?
Was that psychic or fairy?
No, the fairy. The fairy. It wasn't a gym that had fairy. It was a.
The Team Star. Yeah, the second one was up with the mountains with the ice.
Yeah.
And later.
And but I mean ice, I've trivialized. And then it was like. What was it? A steel. With Steel, it was
that was the Titan. Steel was a team. Yeah, it was a Titan. Dragon was a Titan.
Yeah, Dragon was a Titan.
I felt it never felt like the Titans were that hard.
Yeah, because it would legitimately just be type advantage. And even if you didn't have pure type advantage, the Pokemon that would fight with you usually had at least one move that was super effective.
Yeah.
So as long as your Pokemon had enough health to last the battle, you were fine.
Yeah.
Alright. So,
solid Pokemon game.
Yep. Chris and I need to go Paradox training hunting. So, in the co-op, can you co-op in Area Zero? Because that probably would make things a whole lot easier. Like, because I could just show up to your game and catch the Paradox Pokemon I need.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You gotta look that up.
All right. So, I shouted this out on the table.
Yes, you can.
Huh?
Tight. There you go.
You can do Area Zero in multiplayer.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I'll easy. Roll up. And I'll let you could. I already caught all the Paradox Pokemon to trade to you, so. And then the. Cool. I also caught an extra of the little guy that evolves into Cerulege and Armorogue.
Oh, yeah, because I can't find. That's the one Pokemon that said it's been there, and I have not seen it yet.
Well, I have one for me to evolve, and then I have an extra one for you. And if I run into any more, I'll try and catch them. I don't think I have the item to evolve it yet.
Yeah, you got to catch it, and then I think you kill 20 of a certain type of Pokemon. I think I have to kill Bronzor. Or defeat Bronzor. You know, kill Pokemon.
Yeah, kill them. Murder. But I'm just trying to think. Are you sure? Because I looked up like all of those special methods of evolution, and the only mm-hmm. one that I know that you have to fight specific other Pokemon with is it Bisharp? No, Bisharp's a fish. The one that got like a samurai evolution this time around.
Oh,
yeah, it is Bisharp. And, of course, this image makes it impossible to see. Yeah.
Flex.
King Gambit is the new evolution. Which, that one, you have to fight other Bisharps that hold the Leader's Crest. And the Leader's Crest is only held by Bisharps that are surrounded by whatever the first form's name is. Palnard? Palnard. Yeah. Oh, it may... Pawn, Bishop, King. Makes a whole lot of sense. Never saw these as chess-based Pokemon, but it now that I do, it's all coming full circle. But yeah, I brought this story up in the... I did a solo episode of Table Cheese this week, but I feel like you would have a better explanation, because there was one thing on this list I straight up didn't understand. Chris, you posted the 1.6 update sneak peek for Stardew Valley.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need that image?
Yeah, I need that image.
Let well, it's in general games, and just scroll up to the fifth.
I saw this, and I was like, oh, I haven't talked about a single update for Stardew Valley that's come out. Because you got a whole nother island in post-game after...
Well, we talked about it when they brought co-op, and they added mm-hmm. some of the...
Like, oh, there's finally PC support for 8-player. Fuck yes.
Because mm-hmm. what was it, 4-player?
Yeah, it was 4-player. And came out with like that 4-section map for each person when multiplayer dropped.
Okay. And 4-player is available on everything. Because I remember originally, do you think the 8-player support is going to come to the console version?
Yeah. It always starts on PC and test it out, see the bugs, what's going to happen in like a month or two later. I think multiplayer, it took a while for multiplayer to come to consoles just because he was really figuring it out. And he's kind of like a one-man crew over there making his game. I don't know how much, if he's added any to his team, but I know he's been the only one working on the game.
And it's crazy that he's still updating Stardew for free and he's like... developing his next game
at the same Witchbrook. I'm so ready for that game.
I think that might be Chucklefish, but Concerned Ape's new game is something different.
Last time I heard it was
let's see
Which brook is Chucklefish?
Right. So Concerned Ape's next game is The Haunted Chocolatier. Yeah, that's the one. So that's Concerned Ape's next game that he is already working on.
Mm-hmm.
And still has time to, you know,
do these updates.
Yeah. So,
and this one's going to be 1.6 is going to be big. It's adding a new major festival, two new mini festivals, which is tight. Late in game content, which expands on each of the skills in the area. So I'm wondering if you after each five levels of advancing each skill, like farming, fighting, mining, and all that, you get an upgrade, a boost. And so I'm wondering if he's going to expand on that and give you an extra buff. New items to craft, which I guess is going to take you to the new, what's that place called? The island that you get after helping out Willy, or there's going to be a completely new area in the game. Joja alternatives to some of the end game quests.
What is Joja? That was the one thing that I was like.
That's the Mart. So that's the capitalism route where you can literally just say.
The fucking super mega Mart, Walmart, Costco. Fuck them. Fuck them.
So they got
go community center. You always go community center. Fuck them.
So I'm really curious of what he's going to do with this, because it pretty much you either do community center and you rebuild the town like a good Harvest Moon lad that you were, or you go capitalism and you let them Walmart tear down the community center and build up another convenience store.
And you get a JoJo's brand mini fridge for your troubles.
Well, apparently they're going to add alternatives.
So, yeah, I'm wondering, do you try to make capitalism
see the light? Manager. No, you become a fucking middle manager. That's what happens. You actually get a job as a fucking middle manager. That's what happens. You go in deeper.
They always say those who can't do teach, but what I've learned in my experience in working is those who can't do middle manage.
Yep.
Yep. They added 100 plus new lines of dialogue. Great, because I've read the same thing for the last 5 years. Winter outfits, that's cute. New games, winter outfits for villagers, let me be specific. So they'll actually look like they're getting cozy in the winter. New types of rewards and completing a billboard request. Which normally they just give you money, or they like you more. But I guess if you've already been playing this game and you're this late in the game, you don't need money. And you don't need them to like you because it's the same villagers you've been playing on your save file. So that's cool. Whatever, gifts or things that you can acquire. PC support for 8-player multiplayer, that's cool. And then many additions and adjustments. A new farm type, always love that. That always fucks me up. I always start on a new farm and then
is there completely a disregard Japanese farm. Can I have rice fields and
you could make a rice field.
You could just make a rice paddy. You could do that. It doesn't have to be Japan. Grew rice in Africa, dog. There's other places that grows rice.
I think honestly, America, because it loves corn so much, is probably one of the only countries that doesn't eat as much rice as everybody else in the world.
Nah, America eats a lot of rice.
Not as much as corn. Corn is the number one selling.
That's more because of the capitalism. Because remember, corn got subsidized, and that's why they put high fructose corn syrup in everything. We are not consensually eating all that corn. Drinking all that corn.
They don't want actual sugar. They want corn syrup because big corn's gonna get you.
Well, it's not even the actual sugar thing. It's really just the subsidies. Basically, they subsidized the corn industry. That's why Stuffed Crust Pizza was invented by the government to subsidize the milk industry, the dairy industry.
Repeat that?
Stuffed Crust Pizza was invented by the government to subsidize the dairy industry.
Because how do you put
corn? I mean, I'm not mad at that one thing.
Cheese in the pizza.
It's the same. It's the exact same thing about how they how the whole American breakfast: two eggs, grits, bacon, sausage. That was marketing.
I thought that was like come nope. like almost nope. common to marketing. The English breakfast because our breakfast is almost
nope. fucking marketing.
Damn,
fucking marketing, my yeah, guy.
Because same like, thing with the whole part of the balanced breakfast.
Oh yeah,
a balanced breakfast is not balanced whatsoever.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Remember, most of our cultures is same thing with wedding rings. Most of our cultures is just fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just marketing.
Yep.
Most of our rituals are just marketing.
Who the fuck is that? Who's that? Brian or Ryan ruins everything?
Adam.
Adam ruins everything. Jesus Christ. He will get, take you down a dark hole of the shit capitalism has just convinced.
If you wonder why something is like this in America, it's either capitalism or racism. It's always one of the two.
America's a terrible place.
They're not mutually exclusive. Things happen because of capitalism
and racism. Oh, no, they're fucking. Oh, no, capitalism and racism are definitely fucking sloppy style.
Sloppy style.
It's disgusting.
Oh, shit.
Up and down the walls. The room smells god-awful. Like,
oh, yeah, I Motel 6? That is the worst smelling room in the entire planet. Is where hey. Capitalism and racism get to fucking. That is.
You mean the White House? Why do you think the White House wasn't always white, if you know what I mean?
It's mostly been occupied by white people. We got 44 mostly. And a half. Wait, no, 45 and a half.
45 and a half.
I forget Biden exists sometimes. Like,
oh, Byron.
It's because we went through 4 years of fucking knowing someone always exists to, like, well, I mean, back to boring.
Well, no, it's more the fact that Byron's actually, every single bullshit thing Trump tried to pull off and failed, Byron kind of gotten through. Like, literally everything, just about.
Well, I mean, that was like, I felt like we knew about George Bush, like, because George Bush was heavily televised. I feel
George
like
Bush
we...
was heavily televised because he needed to be the face of the jingle machine that was going to convince people that him and Cheney's war crimes were a good thing to do. Because remember, those are war criminals, more so than the usual. Like, to be an American president is to be a war criminal George in general.
Like Obama.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Woo! And Moab Trump, because Trump broke that record. He dropped the biggest bomb. But yeah.
What bomb did Trump drop that was bigger than fucking Big Mama?
That's the one he dropped.
No, that was the one that was dropped on Nagasaki in World War II.
No.
We're not talking about those. We don't drop nukes.
No. He dropped a bigger bomb on, like, Iraq. Like,
he, yeah, didn't he kill, like... We thought World War III was going to happen any fucking day with Trump. That's why we don't remember what Biden's doing.
We're closer to it now, though.
I thought we're not actually close to World War III, because the thing about it, no, the reason why we're not close...
Do you know what Putin is out here doing?
Getting his ass kicked. And also, there was a coup like a month ago.
Yeah. Like, Russia's fighting back.
We're not getting into World War III because every single... national power, quote unquote power, that would have participated in World War III, it's kind of being consumed by the issues of their own people. Like every single one. Like they're either falling to fascism or they're having a rebellion or they're having a revolution or just like something like no one is in the state where they could actually go and fight World War III. Everyone else is corrupt. Like, heck, America's going into like the I've never seen so many workers stand up and strike this fucking consistently. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. The Waffle House workers are striking. The Kaiser nurses are striking. The auto workers are striking. The Actors Guild is still striking.
Yep.
It looks like we're going to have a game strike.
Oh, well, the game strike wouldn't be developers striking. Especially...
Developer strike. Do it.
Are developers unionized?
Some are.
The ones that are getting laid off. Like, so there have been...
And they're suing.
Yeah. God. Well, yeah. I mean, Bungie, man. So we haven't talked about the situation going on at Bungie. So what happened was that part of like a Bungie diversity and inclusion initiative, they hired this woman, a black woman, to investigate racism at the company. And there was a particular case she was put on with a black employee who he's like, I'm the only black person on this team. And I feel singled out. I feel targeted. I feel like there is a problem with racism on my specific team. She took the, essentially addressed the manager. The manager was like, there's no racism on this team. And then when she escalated it with HR, HR is like, well, the manager in this situation has been here longer and we kind of rely on him. And so, and then because she was basically stirring up the shit that she was hired to stir up, she then got her all her Bungie credentials revoked. And they're like, we accepted your resignation. She never resigned. And so now she is suing Bungie for discrimination. And
holy shit.
And yeah. Then they also dropped the dumbass post for the Latino community. Yep.
Oh my God.
I've never heard of, everyone's like, I would rather you call me a slur.
Yeah, that was one thing that I've seen pointed out, is that as far as like, that the term Latinx came from white people, because they're based on Latin, which is a gendered language. And then they're like, okay, so if you don't want to be labeled as Latino or Latina, Latin is right there. You could say Latin.
That implies people. They understand. It implies that the people who are trying to make these decisions actually speak or have any concept of how the language actually works. They're just doing shit to do shit.
Right. And I mean, this is Spanish is a language that was brought to the Americas and a lot of Latin America through colonization and slavery. And sure. Because there were languages established in those regions, mm-hmm. people spoke something before the conquistadors showed up.
Yeah.
And then so that language was indoctrinated into that region.
But they had their own empires. I would like to add that, you know, they had their own empires. There were imperialism is a problem that was not, unfortunately, was everywhere. Like,
yeah.
That's part of the reason why the conquistadors were able to pull off what they did, because they took advantage of the fact that people were trying to fight the empire. They were already impressed. Basically, if the world was communist, we wouldn't have this problem. But that's besides the point. Anyway.
I mean, but China's not exactly like...
No, they're not. They're not actually. No. That, like, if you actually look at what communist is supposed to do, they're not doing that. It's kind of like how the Nazis are called national socialists, yet they didn't do a damn socialist thing in their life.
No.
Never mind. I'm not even going to go where I was going to go with that while we're live on Twitch and being recorded. So I'm just going to... We're going to get off the topic of Nazis.
They're bad, and they should be made to fertilize.
They are very bad.
This is a Nazi hate podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like most podcasts should be Nazi hate podcasts.
You would think, but they're not. Not in America. Think.
Oh my God.
Heck. Literally the worst Italian import. Like, literally the worst Italian import.
Nazis?
Fascism specifically.
Oh yeah.
Oof. Yeah. The worst Italian import.
They brought pasta.
But they got that from China. Marco Polo had to go to China for that shit.
No, they didn't go to China. China came to them.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was the expansion of the Roman Empire.
Mm-mm. China, the expansion of the Roman Empire ended because of fucking China.
I thought it expanded because it collapsed under its own weight.
They were, because they were trying to they were stretching themselves thin, and then, what's that fucking Genghis Khan motherfucker?
Genghis Khan was doing whatever the fuck he wanted.
He did whatever the fuck he wanted.
The Romans wanted to believe they were, Genghis Khan was. See, like, yeah. Man's was out there.
The Japanese believed that they were them until they hit China. They're like, oh, fuck, because they were out there
pillaging. Doing whatever they wanted with Korea.
They were out there, like, literally conquering all the islands in the Pacific because they were the biggest Pacific island. And so they kind of evolved And so, like, they get on their boats, and every
imperialism island strikes again. Yeah. It's almost like through the cycle of imperialism, you get trapped in a cycle of violence that extends in both ways in time. Wait, isn't that the plot of Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
Isn't that the literal plot of
Attack on Titan? And I mean, it's so imperialism is to boats what the patriarchy is to horses. Like, the second you put some dude on a boat, he's going to try and conquer everything that boat can get to. The second you put a man on a horse, he's going to try and control everything that he can get to on his horse.
So,
that was like the best part of the Barbie movie. Like, Ken thought the patriarchy was about men and horses. And then lost interest when he found out that horses were just kind of like a tool of the patriarchy.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah. We're getting kind of... So we got 2 months and some weeks left in the year. And I know Spider-Man's coming out in the next couple weeks.
So is Alan Wake 2.
Yeah.
I need Alan Wake. I need it.
I want it.
How are y'all feeling about Game of the Year so far? Because as this year's been a horrible year for the games industry, as far as like anyone working in the games industry, anybody like trying to break into the games industry.
If you're not a consumer of the games industry, this year fucking sucked.
Yeah. But for consumers of the game industry,
pretty lit.
Yeah.
It was pretty
lit.
We've had some of, like, it's going to be crazy to see how wildly, because I mean, it seems like the two big ones are Baldur's Gate 3 and Tears of the Kingdom. I feel like between those two games, those are going to clean up.
For me, it's Baldur's Gate. Like, wholesale, it's Baldur's Gate, just because you can, in my, like, you can get so much out of Baldur's Gate.
You can get a shit ton out of Tears of the Kingdom.
I know, but you can't fuck your companions in Tears of the Kingdom. A Shadowheart can get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I see the appeal of...
I mean, it's literally the D&D game. The only thing that's better than Baldur's Gate is the actual D&D campaign you get to play with your friends. The only problem is, unlike Baldur's Gate, your friends have scheduling issues.
Yeah.
Touché.
But I mean, Zelda is literally like... I feel like the amount of Zelda that I played, the fact that I had a Game of the Year moment, that's not something that happens in the game every year. So, and I mean, Zelda's not even Game of the Year for me. Like, it's still Final Fantasy 16. Like, every time I hear people start talking about their Game of the Year, like, the arguments they bring up, like, Final Fantasy 16 was exactly what I wanted out of that game. And then some. Like, it had surprises, like, for the most part, by the time it came out, it was a known quantity. We knew we were going to get a fire soundtrack from Soken. We knew we were going to get combat, like Devil May Cry 5 style combat from the combat director of the game. We knew the story was being handled by writers from 14. We knew Yoshi P was acting as producer. Like, it was an all-star team, and like all those pieces came together, and I won't say it's a perfect game, but just for me and what I wanted out of that game, it was all of that and more.
Well, I don't think you're... Oh, okay.
Counter-argument. A vampire twin can get railed by a bear in Baldur's Gate 3. And also, a hot alien and a hot goth priestess can get into literally an underwear-clad knife fight. That's just something that happens.
I mean, I have Baldur's Gate 3 installed on my PS5 because I'm game sharing with Radic, but I just haven't. When I turned on my PlayStation, I had to go get Ahsoka in Fortnite because I finished the season of Ahsoka and I was like, oh yeah, she is in Fortnite. Let me go get her before she's gone forever. So, got me my own little snips in Fortnite, and then yeah, I just like Baldur's Gate is not the thing that has me right now. The thing that has me actively turning on my console is Spider-Man 2 hype.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Like, if I had a PS5, I'd definitely be, like, on the hype train for Spider-Man. Like, heck, up until, like, this year, my motivation for getting a PlayStation was Spider-Man. But now I'm just like, there's so much other good games that I could just, that I don't need a PlayStation for. I'm like, I can honestly wait. I can wait.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, from one side, like from the journalism side of the industry, we're hearing that there's going to be a new PS5, but did Jim Ryan leave PlayStation since we talked last? Like, had Jim Ryan
He stepped down.
Okay. Well, he hasn't stepped down yet. He'll step down.
Well, at he the is end stepping down. Just year. And then also, I believe The Last of Us 2 is getting remastered.
A rumor.
We knew that was going to happen.
Well, that was going to happen. Why? Because Naughty Dog needs a product that can actually fucking sell.
But.
Because Factions is on hold. And they laid off.
Chris, just think about the games that came out around the time of The Last of Us Part 2. I.e. Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima came out after The Last of Us Part 2 and got a director's cut on PS5 before Last of Us
got. But is that a remaster?
It's not. It's good. Like, it's a director's cut. They just added in some DLC and ported it over. And that's The Last of Us Part 2. Because the thing is, how I think this is going to shake out. The Last of Us Part 1 came out a little bit before the HBO show came out. So when people and saw in the credits, based on a PlayStation game, they could go to the store, buy a PS5, and buy a copy of The Last of Us Part 1 that had Joel and Ellie on the cover, and without like GameStop or Walmart or Best Buy having to explain, well, yeah, you can get The Last of Us remastered and it's backwards compatible, and like it just removed as many steps between like the uninformed consumer who watched the show transferring over to buying a console and playing the game. And so, with The Last of Us, we know that the writer's strike is over, and hopefully these studios get their shit together enough that the actor's strike will be over soon enough. But, like, I mean, that's why we're hearing the rumblings of it, because unlike a show where they, like, the turnaround time is a lot quicker, once you have all the like pieces in place, a game you could have all the pieces in place, but you need them to have them in place longer. So that's why we're starting to hear about Last of Us Part 2 Remastered, because the second season of the show is going to pick up where the second game picks up. And so to keep those same people who went to the store and bought The Last of Us Part 1, just so there's a box on the shelf that says Last of Us Part 2 and has a PS5 banner instead of a PS4 banner, like, it makes sense. It's just like the argument I made when The Last of Us Part 1 came out. I'm like, it is not for any of us who've played The Last of Us. Because we saw...
I mean, I get what you're saying.
We saw by the sales of that game that it was people... Like, sure, there were some people that went back and double-dipped and, like, you know, but The Last of Us Part 2 is not for the people like me who play The Last of Us Part 2. It's for the people who either played Last of Us Part 1 and are, like, interested in seeing the story continue, watch the first season of the show. Like, they're not putting out these things for the enthusiast crowd. They're going for a more mass market appeal, and I totally see that. Like, Horizon Zero Dawn's getting a remastered.
Probably gonna get a remaster around the time the show comes out.
Right.
Because there is a show in the works.
Yes. There's too much Horizon shit in the works for just as a non-Horizon fan. There's they're getting a multiplayer Monster Hunter style game, which I'm like, if Sony was going to be putting first party resources into a Monster Hunter like game, why the fuck does it have to be Horizon?
I will say hunting robot dinosaurs would be fucking sick, though, because that's the thing about it is hunting robot dinosaurs was fucking sick. Like, my biggest complaint about Horizon has always been less this tribal bullshit and more hunting robot dinosaurs, because the only moment I truly remember from the first game was standing on a snowy peak during a snowstorm fighting a giant robot bird made out of lightning, and that shit was sick.
Yeah, I mean, I will
say that is pretty fucking cool.
That combat loop, it's everything when you're outside of combat that I have a problem with in Horizon.
Basically. Yeah. Like, that's where everything is mid. That's where that game is mid. But then when you get those real big set piece fights, that's where you're like, oh, I see it. I see the vision.
Yeah, I mean, I have the art book for the original Horizon, because I mean, like, the design work as far as the robot dinosaurs go is, like, impeccable. Like, there are so many things about it for me to like, but it's just Aloy's not a compelling character. None of the characters that are even around Aloy are that compelling. There are a few, and like Lance Reddick.
RIP. Yeah, I was about to say he's rip him because he was the only memorable character outside of Aloy. The only reason I remember Aloy is because I had to be here for like 20 something hours.
But yeah, so
I mean, that's sad.
This is the mass market
thing. But this is also something I've been saying about Sony games, is outside of a couple of very big specifics, I find most of their stories to be kind of mid. Outside of a couple of, like, key specifics.
I mean, recently, the past few years, because so many things got impacted by COVID, I just don't... PlayStation, and I mean, Jim Ryan... stepping down as CEO, I had a lot of problems with how Jim Ryan handled PlayStation when he was in charge. But at the end of the day, the PS5 did come out. He did fix the supply issues. There are a lot of achievements that he made as far as like the PlayStation brand that strengthened what it was compared to before him, because he kind of came in towards the tail end of the PS4. By that time, all the big AAA games for the end of the PS4 were already out. And so it was really just a matter of transitioning over to the new generation. And supply constraints hit everybody and everything. But, I mean, we're to a point that, like, Jalen, if you decided right now you wanted a PS5, you could have one at your house in under 2 days with little to no effort.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen one in stores. Every time I walk into a Target or some shit, I see a PlayStation in there.
Yeah. I mean, like, Xboxes and PS5s, they're just out now.
They're just there. Yeah. Really, my thing with it is my biggest complaints when it comes to PlayStation is more of a combination of, like, the fact that the development cycle has only gotten longer over the years. Like, the AAA development cycle is, in my opinion, entirely too long for the actual quality of what we're getting. Like, I feel like the focus on the AAA, what they focus on to make a game AAA, is never anything that actually makes a game good to me.
Maybe from PlayStation Studios, I could agree with that. But
we're talking about PlayStation Studios.
Well, but these are the games that have felt AAA to me this generation have all come from Japanese studios. So we get Final Fantasy VII Remake that we're getting Rebirth, 3 years later?
Yeah.
So, like, that's not that crazy of a development time. The production values on that game look
great. Well, that's also because of the fact that, like, they never stopped working on the 7 Remake after they finished 7 Remake. Yeah. So a lot of the actual development cycle of the 7 Remake for Rebirth was in the 7 Remake development time. So, you know, technically, they never stopped the development time on that.
Right, and I mean... So
I feel like that kind of circumvents stuff, because how long since they announced the 7 Remake till we got the 7 Remake?
The iteration of the 7 Remake that we actually got, I'd want to say it's about a 3-year span. if okay. But because okay. Yeah, if we count the first time there was a notion of a 7 remake, we're going all the way back to PS2.
No, I mean like full actual announcement, because they bring up the 7 remake. They brought up the 7 remake around the time Final Fantasy 13 came out.
They brought up the 7 remake around the launch of the PS2, saying they were going to port 7, 8, and 9 to PS2 after 10 came out, which just never happened.
Right. It's like Square does that. Like, Square will just dangle the 7 remake in front of you. But what I'm saying is like...
So the 7 remake that we currently have, it wasn't even the big re-reveal, because the big re-reveal, it was supposed to be CyberConnect 2 making it, and then Square took it in-house, and then... didn't say anything publicly about the fact, like, hey, we're taking CyberConnect 2 off this project so we can do it right. But, and I feel like I would have liked to have played the CyberConnect 2 7 remake. It wouldn't have been as good. I mean, good.
I would love to play all the canceled Final Fantasy stuff that just died in-house.
There's so much canceled stuff that I would
I would love to play any of that, but really it's more the fact that it's like,
not even just Square.
I do kind of agree with you the fact that, like,
all around.
Right. I do agree with you the fact that Square has been on their fucking jobs. Like, I'm not going to say they're not. And that's why I'm not really including them when I'm talking about this. I meant more of, like, the in-house Sony stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of that. So, Sony Santa Monica went away from God of War 3 to God of War 2018. And that was, what, 6 years? But the project that they... That's the thing. Most of these teams at Sony are multiple teams. That's why we were able to get Uncharted 2 and 3 1 year after the other. And then...
I'm not saying that... Yeah, and also I like the fact that in the PS4... Well, even now, that they rotate development studios. Like, you get these two... You get these two devs this year. You get these two devs next year, and blah, blah, blah.
Except Insomniac, because Insomniac just going to come out the gate swinging every fucking chance.
Right, but also it's because Insomniac, for the most part, also makes smaller games.
Well...
Relative, like, they put... I'm not saying they're not putting the quality in. That's,
but they
that
have
has
multiple teams, because Insomniac, they had the Ratchet team. They had the Spider-Man team. The Spider-Man
they have the Wolverine. Is the Spider-Man team transitioning to Wolverine, or do they just have a Wolverine team?
They might just... Well, they were doing other stuff, because they were doing VR development, which we haven't seen a VR project. They did Song of the Deep for the GameStop publishing label. Like, they did a lot of stuff before being bought by PlayStation that we're not seeing a direct through line from some of those things. Like, any of their VR titles... We're not seeing, like, there is not an Insomniac game on PlayStation VR 2. Then Song of the Deep, that was like a 2D story focused platformer, Metroidvania style game. And nothing that they've put out this generation looks... You can't draw the through line from Song of the Deep to anything that they've put out. But then you can draw the line from Sunset Overdrive to Spider-Man. And it really might be the Ratchet team, because they said they're putting Ratchet on the back burner. And so it really might be the team that worked on Rift Apart that's working on Wolverine.
Honestly, that would make sense.
Yeah, I could see it that way.
But them not just being one team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of these studios aren't... Like, once you make that much amount of money and you're able to produce... Like they are, like, you make a game, you're going to sell, like, 30 million copies or some shit like that. Like, all your games are going to sell. You're not just going to have one team. Like, that's...
And, I mean...
I agree with that. That's not really what I'm getting at. It's more just the fact that it's, like, the development... I feel like what we're getting out of some of these extremely long development cycles isn't worth it, in my opinion.
I can agree with you as far as just from the PlayStation.
We're just talking about PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know? Because I feel like the ones that don't have a console they need to put on their backs are doing a bit more interesting things.
Right, because Capcom is fucking out here. Capcom, yeah. Year after year, Capcom's just like, flex.
Right.
Monster Hunter World 2. We were talking about this in the PSN party last night, that Monster Hunter World 2 is probably going to ruin our lives.
Oh, like, my Capcom, God, please, and Square Enix, please,
are about to, like, double clothesline us, because the last day of February, the 29th, we're getting Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Historically speaking, Capcom will put out one of their big AAA games
before... They already said they had one for March that started with an M.
That will sell millions of
copies. Yeah.
That will sell millions of copies. That's World 2.
So, right, World 2, as far as we know, is coming out before the end of the fiscal year, so before April 1st, 2024. There are no major gaming events between now and then, except for...
Game Awards.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, December, we're going to get a...
Oh my God, Game Awards about to be
Game
hype.
Awards is about to be hype, because we're probably getting Elden Ring DLC. We're probably getting Monster Hunter World 2. We might be getting Wolverine. I'm still a little shaky on that.
Yeah, I'm shaky on that. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't.
Don't count on it. Don't like count on it. But like, it's something that if it happened, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did this. It's like, no, it's about time.
Actually, my wild assumption that there's no bearing on is we might actually see an early access date on Hades 2 at the Game Awards.
Maybe. Yeah, because...
Like I said, that's my wild one. That's my out of left field.
That's not wild. Wild would be Sony Santa Monica's next game that's completely unrelated to God of War.
That's too early.
Or Naughty Dog's Space Project. Because there was supposed to be a sci-fi IP that Naughty Dog was creating.
Yeah, but I don't know, because that company did just get rocked.
Well, they got rocked, and it impacted the multiplayer. They had three teams by the time...
Okay, so it was just the factions dev that got laid off.
Because it was... They were working on Uncharted 2, and then another team was working on Uncharted 3, while the Uncharted 2 team made Last of Us, and while that team was making Last of Us, the Uncharted 3 team was working on Uncharted 4. And then... They also had their multiplayer component, because Uncharted 2, 3, 4, and Last of Us 1 all had multiplayer components. So it seemed like the layoffs mainly affected their multiplayer development. And so they haven't put out a game since 2020. It's been 3 years. Of single player teams working, like, we don't have another Uncharted announced, and even if Uncharted comes back in the near future, it's not coming from Naughty Dog. I'm willing to bet on that. And so that means that the team that developed The Last of Us 2 has to be working on something. And so the rumors that have been going around is that it's a sci-fi IP that Naughty Dog is going to make, and that, like, seeing something of that at Game Awards. There was also supposed to be a Sony Santa Monica sci-fi IP that came, like, after Ragnarok, because Corey Barlog didn't work on Ragnarok. Corey Barlog worked on 2018 and then went to work on another project. So there are all these things. Ghost of Tsushima 2 would be awesome to get out of PlayStation. Because historically, there were two invasions of the islands of Tsushima. And so we only covered the first one in the first game. There is literal historical evidence that there's going to be a second game. We haven't heard anything from Sucker Punch since 2020. And
really, that's who I'm expecting. If I hear from any Sony team at Game Awards, I'm expecting Sucker Punch.
Yeah, I could see the Insomniac Sucker Punch combo being really cool, because those two studios kind of, they're not like the S tier. I feel like just the sentiment around PlayStation is S tier is Sony Santa Monica and Naughty Dog, And then right below that, you got Sucker Punch and Insomniac.
Well, I will say, this is my hot take. Yeah, there's prestige because those two companies make prestige narratives for people who like mid-video games.
Uncharted 2 was fucking amazing, man.
I know what I said. I know what I said.
I'm not talking about Ghost of Tsushima, right? Ghost of Tsushima was a really good game.
Ghost of Tsushima was late.
Yeah, but Ghost of Tsushima was a really good open world game that just did what Assassin's Creed should have done two generations ago. Finally. True.
With also a good story. With an actual good story and multiple character arcs during it.
Characters that you felt...
Wait.
Your audio went out.
Okay. Chris, you just...
Oh, did it go out?
Yeah. You got attacked by the Matrix. Characters, and then you look down, and just your voice, like, neither of us heard anything you said.
Oh, I said with multiple characters that you just fell in love with.
Yeah. And I mean, that has to be what Sucker Punch is working on, but they probably also have a multiplayer team working on the next Ghost of Tsushima Legends. Because that couldn't have been the core development team that worked on that. So, and I mean, Sony's talking about all these live service games, but at the same time, like, I know that their focus is going to shift towards those in the near future, but really what I'm looking forward to is they said they're going to also keep spending the same amount of money on big budget AAA single player games. And I mean, I'd like to see what they can do. I want a Astrobot 3D platformer, please, Team Asobi. Not in VR. Because I heard Astrobot Rescue Mission is great. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... If I'm not hooking up my PSVR for the Linkin Park Mike Shinoda Beat Saber pack, I'm definitely not hooking it up to play Astrobot Rescue Mission. But Astro's Playroom was such a good 3D platformer. But the only problem with it was small. Like, make something like that more fleshed out. So that's what I want from Team Asobi.
Ghost it was a fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been going for over an hour. Is there anything else y'all want to touch on in the gaming space?
Nah.
No.
14 just needs to stop adding these side characters. Fucking Zero's a mess. I love her.
Yeah, Zero.
14. Zero is a solid character since she came out.
I think Zero is a side character. I think Zero is going to become like a member.
I don't know. I think my prediction is she's going to go home to try and fix the 13th after the end of 6.5.
Yeah, but then when we go to the 13th, you don't think she's going to help us?
I don't think we're going back to the 13th for a while. I don't think we're going back to the 13th for Dawn Trail.
Yeah, no. Maybe post Dawn Trail.
Maybe post.
Maybe the next expansion. But I'm just saying, I don't think Zero... like
it's going to go away.
Yeah, I don't think this is the last we're going to see of Zero. Like, Zero's going to go handle Zero's shit. I'm not saying
permanently. I meant more of, like, for a long while. Like, you know, like, Gira joined the Scions. Gira's like... hey, I know their gods are being summoned in front of us, but I'm staring at you, warrior, because you're the only god I worship. Like, you know, like...
you got to think about, like, how long Estinian wasn't part of the party. Because that was two whole fucking expansions that Estinian wasn't in the mix.
See, you have a point there.
Was he not in...
He was not he didn't show up at all in Stormblood.
He was not in Shadowbringers.
Oh my god.
Estinian was like
out
just from out. Heaven's Ward to Endwalker. So that's just how Zero falls in that category.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm saying.
All right. Well, that seems like a good place to wrap it. Remember, you can follow us all collectively around the internet, cheesycontrollerpodcast.com. Follow me on Twitter @Anton63X. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me in the Discord. Just hit up CheesyControllerPodcast.com. Hit that link. Come in and have a solid-ass time.
All right, Taylor?
In the Discord, being ignorant.
All right, this has been a No It's Good production. The video version is edited by Lana Twist and Mine. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.